From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk words. Let's talk F words. No, not like that. These are totally fine and normal. Fine. See, that starts with F. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, and joining me, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hi there, Kathy. Hi, Ross. We are, I think everybody's back in school at this point, so we're going to move back to something that we've been doing sort of as a series, but we haven't picked up for a little while. We're going to go back into the hardest SAT words, and I think we're going to pick up with the letter F this week.
F.
There are many things we could say about F in this case.
many things I might want to say that I'm not allowed to say.
Like fun and fantastic,
fabulous.
You mean?
But first, I think you had a little bit of a rant you wanted to go on, of course.
Yeah, we were talking about pet peeves, and Kathy and I threw in one of ours this time. And we've jumped ahead of everyone else on the list, but we can do that because we're doing the show.
That's right.
So. We're in charge.
Right.
This was, I'm sure you saw it a couple of weeks ago. There were new words. I think it was Cambridge added new words to the dictionary. And we actually got some other people emailing us about this, too. So that made me feel good. Didn't it make you feel good, too, Ross?
That it made me feel
others
really
agree
good,
with
Kathy.
Us?
Yes, I did. I felt so good. Yeah.
So anyway, Ross, you want to start? What is our pet peeve in this case about the Cambridge Dictionary?
Yeah, people keep adding new. Obviously, it's good for dictionaries to add new words. But the new tendency, we think, is to throw in new words willy-nilly. And a couple of the words that Cambridge Dictionary entered, put in was, skibidi. Do you know or skibidi?
Oh,
do you know
right.
that word,
uh-huh.
Fletcher?
Yeah, I do.
And actually, this one is really interesting because my son is millennial, or I don't remember what. He didn't know the word.
Mm-hmm.
I was on campus at the U of T, and this is extremely unscientific, but most of the people I talked to who were students there didn't know the word. Granted, we're in Canada, maybe, and we're not in England or where the Cambridge Dictionary is, but I was really surprised how few people knew the word. And then Kathy, I went on and on. I'm getting like already my voice is. And then
you are. You're starting to get Ross. Watch your blood pressure, for God's sake.
But we went on talking about it, and we both feel that this is probably a word that's going to come, and then has come and it's going to go.
It's already gone, I think, is my point. Skibidi was like the word. Okay, so our rant is these dictionaries in the guise of being current. I mean, and the guy, the lexical program manager at Cambridge Dictionary, his quote was that internet culture is changing the English language and the effect is fascinating to observe and capture in the dictionary. But our argument is, what are you really observing and capturing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is the other words were trad wife. Okay, that's going to be around
trad
for a little
wife,
bit.
Trad wife, I think, is okay. I think that's probably okay.
Yeah, but then delulu for delusional. I don't think that's a
delulu,
legit
delulu, I think, is ridiculous. I mean, that's a K-pop term that's going to be gone, I bet, in a couple of months. I think they're, like, what Kathy just said far more eloquently than I I'm like, and then, but I think it's really getting a little bit silly at this point. I think we're losing an idea of language, and we're getting into this idea of like whatever the kids are doing is cool, and that's it. And I don't think it's a particularly good idea. I think Cambridge quoted, I think the Prime Minister of Australia saying, they're. Everything is delulu, so we're going to go to a solulu, which is, a joke on solution then. But just because he picked it up doesn't mean it's a bona fide word at this point. Don't you all agree or not?
Yeah, I think maybe we should have our dictionary, and then we should have, a rotating appendix that's dealing with current words, that are...
I like that.
Moving in, and after a while, maybe they'll move out, or maybe they'll graduate to the dictionary. I don't know, something like that.
That's a really good idea.
I think that's
Fletcher.
Legit. Because
like
they're saying that, well, if people are using, again, this is the guy, the lexical guy, said, it's a public record of how people use language. So if people are using words like skibbity or delulu, the dictionary should take account of that. I understand what he's saying, but I think that they're, it's what we're saying. Like, your idea is legit, because maybe they're using skibbity now, but will they be using it in 2 months, or will they be like blah blue blue, which is the new thing, like la boo boos or whatever, those dolls. Yeah. How long is that going to last? I mean, you know, yeah. I don't know.
No, I agree. I think there's an over attendance to like fad things. And I think that's wrong. I think Fletcher's idea is perfect. An area, a forum, or an area where you can put in new words that are rising, and then from there they can graduate into the dictionary proper. I think tradwife probably will be one of those. I think that's going to probably stay.
I really have no idea which ones will stay. I do have one question, though. Ross, you said that you were at the university and you asked a number of students.
Right.
Do you just go around the library and ask people whether they know
no,
words?
No, we have. Well, what we do is we run a little bookstore.
They have
the
pictures of him posted on campus now, Fletcher.
That's true. No, we have a little bookstore at the library that we run for the library.
Okay.
It's for, you know, like donated books, and students come in all the time. And we have, I mean, and then we have carts outside. So we get literally hundreds of students. So so when they buy a book, I'll go, I mean, I guess they think I'm like the weird old guy. They go like, do you know what skibbity means? You know? I get a puzzled look from one or two students or whatever.
That's slightly better. At least they came to you and then you.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Yeah. It's not as scary as it sounds, Fletcher. Really, it isn't.
You get a vision of me kind of walking up to someone at random. Like, what, yeah. No.
What does skibbity mean? Quick.
No, and then I've got a couple friends also are professors there, so I can always, like, in the classroom, I'll be chatting and go, incidentally, we're doing a show. Do you know what this?
Yeah.
We had a great, we have to do one talk. We had a friend of ours, her son is 10, and he called up and gave me an hour lecture on various words 10-year-olds are using now. I thought it was fascinating.
Cool. Yeah.
So I think we should do that. I mean, and this kid is one of the smartest kids I've ever met. He'd go, well, I mean, he's 10, and he's going, well, actually, that word hasn't really entered the corpus, or things like that. It's incredible.
Yeah. Wow.
So I think we should do a show with him. I mean, you know, what he had said on. Anyway.
Okay, I just wanted to say one more quick thing. My new pet peeve is with of the dictionary is I keep seeing people using the dictionary to explain why irregardless is it's in the dictionary.
Oh.
And we've talked about this before, and it's starting to drive me really bonkers that people don't seem to understand having it in the dictionary doesn't mean like it's a great word. You know what I mean? It is a reflection of usage, but it's not necessarily not standard usage. And I have to throw in one more little thing, a pat on my back. Someone had done a meme somewhere on Facebook, and I had to, they were talking about why you can use irregardless. And, you know, it's, we've got to be, can't be prescriptivist and blah, blah, blah. They said, for example, the word refrigerate didn't exist 500 years ago. So I said, actually, it first came into usage in the 1500s. So I was like, yes, score one, Kathy.
Good for you, Kathy.
That's all.
I do think, though, what Kathy just said really raises an interesting point, though. There's a limit to basically saying, you know, anything really goes. Because, I mean, the purpose of language is to communicate, and the purpose of communicate is to get your point across. And if you're basically caught in all of these, this is my word, this is your word. I mean, you know, like if I say the dog bit me and I meant the cat, because I don't like calling dogs dog, I like calling cats, we got a real problem. I don't think it regardless goes up to there, but we do need certain rules a little bit, I think. And speaking of rules, we have some now called rules of spelling in a brilliant segue done by Ross.
Oh, very good.
And we're going to see if Fletcher's going to graduate into the next class.
So we're jumping back into the hardest words ever found on the SATs. And we, yeah, have moved up to the letter F. So you're going to make me spell these words again? Is that what's going on?
Spell them and define them, and then we have one or two different types we'll talk about as we get there.
Okay.
Oh, I'm an idiot. I was just going to paste it in for Fletcher to read.
You fail. Okay, the first word, Fletcher, as Kathy, is facetious.
Facetious.
Spell, define.
Right. Facetious is spelled F-A-C-E. T-I-O-U-S.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I got that part right. And an exact definition, like a very precise definition, I'm not sure I've ever really known, but when you're being facetious, it means you're not completely being serious about something. You're joking a little bit about it.
Right.
There's a nuance to it nowadays.
Waggish, I like.
Waggish?
There's a nuance to... Waggish is a good word.
I like that. Yeah, that is nice.
But there's a nuance to it. It's usually used in a certain sense. Can you tell me... Not always.
Let's see. Oh, no, I was being facetious. I'm not sure exactly.
I don't really agree with that, even though, Ross, it's a definition. Do you? Because I don't think of it
Well,
that
maybe
way.
This is
that's
something that's changed. Maybe this is something that's changed a little bit.
Yeah, the idea is that you're joking or jesting often inappropriately.
Oh.
I'm just thinking right now, Kathy, you're just being facetious. To me, there is a slight, when I just said that, to me, there's a slight tone that Kathy is not making like...
It's slightly negative.
Yeah.
I'm not being like, I'm not being ha-ha funny. I'm being slightly pointy, like zip-dip-dip-dip-dip funny.
And that's what I see it as that way.
I don't really feel that.
I don't either,
actually. I do feel like it's something you might say if somebody didn't realize you were joking. Like, that's when you would say, oh, I was just being facetious.
I don't feel of it as a negative.
Yeah.
I have a slight, it's a slight gloss on funny, though, to me. Uh-huh. If I say, like, oh, Ross, you're so funny, or you're so facetious. Facetious sounds like a little bit, like you just said, pointy. It sounds a little bit clevery and pointy to me. Whereas funny just means like you're making jokes.
Yeah. So you're thinking of as facetious as more like sarcastic.
Yeah. There's like a like I said, a gloss over funny. There's a slight tone to it. Huh. Whatever. We have the definition. I said whatever again. That someone, one of our commenters said, you know, Ross, the whatever man. And I just said whatever. I just realized.
Uh-oh, now it's in your head.
I know. But I do think, that is the classic definition, is joking or gesture. And then they say sometimes or often inappropriately. So I don't think we really need to worry too much. Fletcher had it right.
Yeah, inappropriately seems strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that okay, pointed. Maybe a little pointed. All right, maybe not.
A little pointy, I think, is Kathy's
a
term,
little pointy.
Which I liked. Yeah.
A little pointy. The next word is facsimile. I like saying facsimile.
You sounded like you did. say.
So the fax machine comes from facsimile, right? Because you're making a facsimile of whatever you run through it. Mm-hmm. But fax machine is basically gone. People don't ever talk about making a fax anymore.
No,
remember faxes?
Yeah.
But facsimile, of course, has stuck around. I mean, obviously it existed before fax and exists now. It's just interesting to me that word facsimile started to refer to this separate thing, you know, the fax machine, and then it's moved back into what it used to be. A facsimile is like a I don't know, is it an exact copy of something? Exact copy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, exact copy. And fax machine obviously is F-A-X, but facsimile is F-A-C-S-I-M-I-L-E. L-E? Is it I-L-E?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So got it, Fletcher.
It's like we've got the word simile, which we know, which was something something that's like something else. And then you've got fac. Mm-hmm. Does that fac play into this? Like, does that mean?
Yeah, fac, and it comes from the Latin facere, the verb, which is to make.
Okay. To
fac
make,
would be like
to
the,
make
the,
like
the,
something.
Fac would make it. And fac would be the imperative. You're making something. And then simile is obviously similar.
Cool.
So it's
and actually,
put that to
initially it was spelled as two separate words when it first entered English. It was facsimile, two words.
Which would be correct from the Latin. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right.
You're making it similar. Yes. Very good, Kathy.
Cool.
Well, I just looked it up in the OED, so this did not come off my head.
Wow, Kathy, getting good at Latin here. Okay, the next word, speaking of which, is this is a word that's odd, factitious.
Factitious.
I don't like this word at all, incidentally, but I don't think it really matters, but I don't.
Factitious. Well, I think I can imagine that it's F-A-C-T-I-T-I-O-U-S.
You got it. What does it mean?
You know what? I don't know what it means. It sounds like it's probably an unnecessary word for something that is factual.
Something that is actually...
Not factual?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing this word when I was a long time ago, like in middle school or something. Okay, so it's something that's not authentic, you said?
Correct.
Yeah, but see, for example, here's a use of the word that they have for the dictionary. A largely fictitious national identity. Now, I think you just say artificial.
Oh, sure.
Don't you think? I don't see really the use of this word at all.
Yeah. When you read it in the sentence like that, it's pretty clear to me the meaning, and it mm-hmm. does like bring that back to me now. I just haven't heard that word for so long.
No, but, I haven't either.
But yeah, I don't know that it's a particularly useful word anymore, is it? Maybe.
I don't know. Looking at the OED, it does not seem, the examples are not that new. The only ones I see that seem to make more sense is medical, where it's of a disorder, a feigned or self-induced disorder or symptom that you're sort of like Munchausen's when you're doing something to obtain medical attention. They're saying factitious disorders.
Because that would be slightly different than an artificial disorder. Yeah. You're right. That's interesting.
That one seems legit. The others, they're all saying rare.
Yeah.
So no, I don't like it either.
So sort of fabricated almost? Like you've
well said.
Yeah.
But then wouldn't fabricated, now when you think the medical thing, fabricated sounds better than...
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. I don't know. Maybe factitious is a useful word. Maybe I'm talking myself into it.
The next one is one that I've always had problems with.
I was just going to say the opposite, because when we were kids, our dads with the embassy, we were in Egypt as kids, and they always had, we used to go to this place called Hatun Sun, which sold antiquities, and they always would talk about this thing.
I know, but I never knew how to spell it.
And I always saw it, and I always knew how to spell it from the very beginning.
Okay, the question
now
is, does Fletcher know what it is and know how to spell it? The word is faience.
Right.
Faience. Faience.
This is one that I don't expect anyone to know unless you were a kid.
I lived in Egypt as a little kid and went to Hatun's.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. No.
Should we tell them what it is, at least?
Yeah. Tell me what it is.
Tell them what it is, Kat.
It's glazed colored earthware. So it's like old. We used to see the old, like there was that bluish color, especially. I remember.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're right, Kat. You got it. Wow. And they had signs in English and in Arabic and all that. So I used to look at the signs as kids. Remember, it was a huge building and they had all these
rats.
We used to chase rats in the building.
Yeah, everyone chased the rats. Yeah.
It was just a huge. But there were always these signs where they had all these antiquities and they always said this faience there. So I knew how to spell it, like 8 years old. So
I didn't. I was busy
chasing the rats. Yeah.
I don't know how to spell it. The only thing I can think of is like seance with an F. So I'll spell it that way. F-E-A-N-C-E.
No.
Okay.
Okay. It's French. It's a French background. That doesn't help, does it?
No, it doesn't, because I think seance probably is too, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
Tell me.
Never mind. Okay,
it's spelled F-A-I-E-N-C-E.
F-A-I-E-N-C-E. Wow.
And it probably comes from a French town called Fayence.
Huh.
No, an Italian town.
I'm sorry, an Italian
Ross,
town that the French... Yeah, exactly. The French picked up. And it comes probably from a Latin faventia, which meant silence or meditation. It was a silent, tranquil town. I don't quite know how. That's what we got. And that was, they made ceramics there. So it just picked up the name of the town.
Cool.
Okay, Kath, you want to read this one? This is the killer word.
This is one that I never can pronounce properly.
That's why I instantly said, Kath, do you want to read it? So I have the same problem you do. It's foliage.
Oh, right. This reminds me of things like verbiage or verbiage. Where it's never completely clear whether you're supposed to say the E part or not. Mm-hmm. Foliage. F-O-L-I-A-G-E.
Good.
Okay.
This is a biggie because a lot of people chuck the I in before the L. And they say foliage.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
And interestingly, if they do that, they're actually more approximating the original spelling, which was F-O-Y or F-F-O-Y-L-A-G-E. I mean, the vowel would be before. And it metathesis, we've talked about metathesis before. You know, letters bop around and they switch, and that one switched.
Oh, yeah, because that was because the Latin made it change from the French. Yeah,
because the Latin word for leaf is folium.
Yeah.
And the I is on the other side. So they said, okay, let's make it like Latin. That's a good idea. I don't know why they always did that, but they did.
I know. Very annoying, actually. I wish they hadn't. It would have been much simpler. The next one is easy. I don't even know why this is on the list of hard, because I can't see how you would misspell this. The word is forensic.
Forensic. Do you think that would be so easy if we didn't live in the world of CSI and Law and Order?
Actually, that's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, we see it all the time, right? Forensic. Forensic. Yes, forensic. Yeah.
You got it.
Came from the word forum.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was interesting.
You know what? Okay, so that is interesting, because I was going to ask, you end up with two different kinds of forensics. One is related to like criminal activity, and one is related to the other half of the debate class that all the kids took in high school, right?
They're both linked that way etymologically, because in the forum, it's a place where they would have courts.
Oh,
or public discussions and debates. So therefore, you were doing a court like in a debate, or you're doing a court in the sense of like you're guilty of murder and let's do some forensics on that. So it has both linkages actually work in that sense.
Fascinating. I never knew that. I did always wonder why that word existed in two what seemed to be very different ways, but they aren't that different.
Mm-mm.
I'm pasting a word in for you to pronounce, Fletcher, and define.
Okay. The word is spelled FRACAS. FRACAS. I don't honestly know that I've ever exactly known how to pronounce this correctly now that you bring this up. And I don't think I've ever actually looked it up. I mean, it seems like it should be fracas or fracas. I'll go with fracas, I guess.
Well, you could go with either one.
They're both correct. And this is like a big kerfuffle,
I always said fracas.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And Kathy is doing the British pronunciation.
What? Are you serious?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Fracas?
I always said fracas or fracas. And then Kathy and I were discussing it. And then it turns out Kathy is using, basically, you look at the word, you could pronounce it any way you want. And there'll be someone saying it that way. You know? So this is sort of a trick.
Isn't this one of those words, though, that no matter what you say, everyone's going to think you're wrong as opposed to right?
That's what it sounds like.
I think Fletcher said kerfuffle, and I think I would use that. And we all know how to pronounce that one. So I didn't realize it comes from the, it's a back formation from casare, for casare. Which is casare is to smash and to break up.
Hmm.
And then the fra is from infra, which is below. So I don't quite understand you're shaking it from below, I guess. I don't quite get the thing here, but whatever, that's the thing. Okay, Fletcher. Fulgurous.
Fulgurous?
Yes.
Fulgurous.
I had never run across this word until we put this list together.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Full. Fulgurous. Fulgurous.
Well, close, but no quite cigar here.
Fulgurous.
It's F-U-L.
Fulgurous. Yeah.
Fulgurous. Okay.
Fulgurous.
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 Okay. Okay. No idea. Absolutely not. I've never heard of this word.
Okay. It tends to be more poetic. It's flashing or brilliant. Comes from fulgor, lightning in Latin.
Wow.
Fulgere, which is to shine, flash. This one, I mean, you know, if you know Latin, it's easy. But if you don't, I don't think it's particularly used that well.
Yeah, I agree. If you don't know the Latin, that word does not sound like that definition.
Not at all. It doesn't sound at all like lightning. They say in the OED, it's chiefly literary. It doesn't feel at all like the meaning at all.
That is so interesting to me. I guess because the Latin instantly, I mean, when you look at the word, I'm looking at the letters right now and I'm seeing little flashes of light, and it's not like,
I'm seeing like stalagmites or something. I'm seeing like heavy, mushy.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. I'm closer to Kathy's. It seems like maybe a fat blobby thing. I mean, that's not a stalactite or a stalactite, but...
Yeah. No, it's not brilliant and flashing to me at all.
No, definitely not.
Well, all of our ancestors, Proto-Indo-European, it comes from the Proto-Indo-European flag, which is to shine. So I think all of our ancestors now are turning over in their graves at your horrible redefinition of the word. But let's go on. I don't want to fulminate, Kath. Go on. So.
Fulminate is the word. Yeah. That's an easy one.
Fulminate?
That's a gimme. Fulminate.
I know how to spell it. Fulminate. Fulminate. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what it means. I think I would know what it meant if I saw it in a sentence.
Read a sentence. Okay. Read a sentence, Cap.
Mr. Cameron has fulminated publicly about cutting public sector pay.
Yeah, maybe not exactly ranted, but grumbled, expressed irritation.
Ashley Fletcher, as you think about that, let's go back to the word fulgurous and then rethink what you just said.
I don't think that really helps me.
Okay, it's basically the word possibly comes from what we were saying earlier with fulgare, which is a shining and flashing, as in lightning flash, because the literal word comes from fulminare, which is to hurl lightning or to thunder.
So it is. So it is so, much stronger. It is ranting.
It's very strong.
Okay.
It's a thundering denunciation.
I like that. Thundering denunciation.
That's nice.
That has
that's
real.
That's nice. Yeah. Yeah. That works with the lightning too.
Yeah. Do you guys though? I don't think I ever use thundering as a descriptive. Do you?
I love it. You just said it. I loved it, actually.
Yeah.
He thundered at, you know, whatever. I think it's great.
Yeah,
it
I like thundering
power.
Denunciations. I intend to make many. That's my new thing, too. Thundering denunciations. The next one is actually a sad one, given recent news events. Funicular.
Yeah, we know what happened in Portugal.
Yeah.
I think funicular is F-U-N-I-C-U-L-A-R.
You
correct.
Got it. It's interesting because a common misspelling is funicular with a U, with an R in there.
Funicular. Oh, I can see that. Yeah, that's one of those things. What's it called? We mentioned metathesis earlier. Metathesis. What's it called when somebody slips an extra letter in?
Insertion.
Oh.
Boring, but yeah.
So I don't exactly know what funicular means, though.
Oh, really?
No, not really.
It's hanging from a cable or a rope.
That's okay. Okay.
Yeah. And it comes from the Latin meaning a rope, a funiculus. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Now we have a new word here, which is we threw in. This is not on the SAT letters, mm-hmm. but it was interesting. Furuncular.
Furuncular?
Furuncular.
Furuncular.
Yes.
Furuncular.
Spell and give us the definition.
I like
think,
that.
I didn't...
Furuncular. Well, F-U-R... U-N-C-U-L-A-R, sort of like avuncular, but with a fur.
Correct.
Yes, very good.
Do you have any idea what it means? Well, I can't imagine you would.
You get like 500 points if you do get this one.
Avuncular is like your uncle, the way your uncle would be to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Furuncular is... very much not like what your uncle would be to you.
It is. It's true. It's not at all.
No, I don't
actually,
know. I don't know what is.
But Fletcher, I'm really interested because that was actually a really interesting guess.
Uh-huh.
Because the word itself, the Latin word fur, F-U-R, fur,
uh-huh.
Means thief. Now, this is getting a little bit. Kind of, so it's like basically you could argue, and originally in Latin, it sort of meant like being like a thief, but then it kind of transmogrified basically into being a boil or a burning sore. I guess, the thief hit you, and you've now like are hurting.
Wow,
because okay. You'd have a furunculus on your body, and you go, oh my god, look at that furunculus, I'm furuncular.
So it's like of or resembling a boil on your body?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. A boil or a burning sore.
It is. You're right, though, that it's very much not like my uncle. So.
No. Very much. Unless, I mean, I don't know what your uncle's like.
That's a good thing, because your uncle would be pained.
All of my uncles are fantastic. I love them all.
None of them are furuncular. Okay, we're very good.
Okay, speaking of words that begin with the letter F, this was our segue. We got an email from Kayla in New Orleans who said, I was reading a book and it said, she fitted in well with the cast. Then I thought I'd say she fit in well with the cast. I'd use fitted for something like she was fitted for a dress. Is one preferred over the other? Hmm. I.e., is fit in more correct than fitted in?
Yeah, that's
also
really
let's throw something else in there too. Fletcher, what would you have said?
I would have definitely said fit in. I would have said fit in.
Yeah.
Fit.
As would I. What about you, Ross?
As would I. And I think we're all using, in general, the distinction is American English versus British English.
Mm-hmm.
And Americans tend to say she fit in well with the cast. British tend to say she fitted. And we're basically talking about the past tense and past participle. Americans prefer fit. Brits prefer fitted.
Interesting.
However, Kathy, do you want to throw in the one exception in American English?
Are you talking about clothing?
Yes. You say it's a fitted jacket. You don't say in English, American English, it's a fit jacket.
No, of course not. But you also say, I mean, when you talk about fitting a jacket, as she herself said, mm-hmm. you do use fitted as a verb when it is about fitting clothing. You don't say they fit the dress on her. They say they fitted the dress.
They fitted it on her.
Yeah.
They fitted, the tailor fitted me. Which sounds so odd when you say fitted.
It is, but anyway. It does. I think it's a good distinction because if you just say fit, then it sounds like maybe they're just trying to cram somebody into something. But if you say fitted, then you know that it's being tailored.
Yep.
And speaking of tailored, that's another British-American thing. We say tailored in the U.S. In the U.K., you say bespoke. It's a tailored suit. Made to order. It's a bespoke suit. I love bespoke.
But now you can, like, go get your bespoke acai bowl or whatever. Like, everything's
bespoke
now.
I know.
So it's lost most meaning, I think.
It's lost its charm.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org. or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
It's rare to find a podcast that can actually change your life. But when the show's called Life Kit, that's kind of the whole point. I'm Mariel Segarra. 3 times a week on the Life Kit podcast, we guide you through a topic we could all use help with, from personal development to healthy living to managing your dinero, with takeaways so you can start living what you learn right away. Escucha el Life Kit podcast from NPR.